You're listening to The Truth Podcast from PursueGod.org.
If you turn on the news today and look at the Middle East, you're not just looking at a geopolitical conflict. For millions of Christians, you're looking at a stopwatch. You're looking at what some Christians call the prophetic clock of God. Why is it that a Christian in suburban Chicago or rural Texas feels a deep, spiritual, almost a primal connection to a small strip of land in the Mediterranean, a land that probably they'd never have visited? Why does the political fate of the state of Israel occupy such a massive space in the American evangelical psyche? Most people today think that this is just about modern politics or maybe some voting bloc in Washington, but actually it's much deeper. It's about a theology called Christian Zionism. Now, if you caught our last episode, we took a deep dive into something called dispensationalism. We talked about how many believers read the Bible in distinct eras and see a clear line between the church and Israel. Go back to last week's episode if you missed that one. Well, today's topic is the natural follow-on to dispensationalism, because for a lot of people, Zionism is the logical next step of their theology. If you believe that God has a separate plan for Israel, then the modern state of Israel isn't just a country, it's a miracle. But here's the tension. Does one always lead to the other? Is the goal simply a political state, or is there a deeper, more controversial spiritual endgame? Today, we're going to go beyond these headlines. We're going to answer these questions as we talk about Christian Zionism. Now, we probably have to start by going way back before 1948. That's when Israel became a country once again. We have to go all the way back to Genesis 12 in the Bible. The heartbeat of this whole movement is found really in that chapter. Christian Zionists hold to a literal interpretation of the covenant that God made with Abraham. They believe that when God speaks to Abraham, he isn't just giving him a spiritual blessing, he's giving him a physical deed to real estate. Let's look at the text, Genesis 12, verses 1 to 3. The Lord said to Abram, "Leave your native country, your relatives and your father's family, and go to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others. And I will bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. All the families on earth will be blessed through you." Now, notice the word for land there. In Hebrew, the word is Eretz, and it's not a metaphor for heaven or a spiritual state of mind, so would argue a dispensationalist. Really, it's dirt, it's mountains, it's valleys of an actual place on earth. You can find its coordinates. And so a Christian Zionist would point to this and say, look, if God said, I'm going to give you this land, and he said it was an everlasting covenant, that's from Genesis 17, then it doesn't have an expiration date. And look at the word there, the passage there that says, I will bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. So a Zionist would look at this and say, we need to bless Israel. As Christians, we still need to bless Israel. Now, it's not just Genesis 12 where they get that ideology, but it's also from Revelation and some of the end times stuff that we talked about last time. Now, a lot of people today just think, okay, so that's where it starts in the Bible, and then we fast forward to today in America. But actually, this whole idea didn't start in America. It actually started in the libraries of 17th century scholars. It started with the English Puritans in the 1600s. These Reformation era Christians moved away from the medieval allegorical reading of the Bible, and they moved toward a more literal one. So guys like Increase Mather started writing about the restoration of the Jews. They believed that for Christ to return, the Jewish people had to be back in their ancestral home, which, by the way, was crazy at this time because the Jewish people were just scattered all around Europe, and they really had no claim to the quote-unquote promised land. That was part of the Ottoman Empire at this time. And so it was pretty crazy for the Puritans to read the Bible and start suggesting and believing that God would give them the land again. Fast forward to the 19th century, we've got a guy named Lord Shaftesbury, who was a British social reformer in the 1840s, who lobbied the government to help Jews return to Palestine. And then you might want to look up the name William Heckler. He was an Anglican chaplain who became basically the right-hand man to Theodore Herzl. Heckler was a dispensationalist who believed that it was his Christian duty to help Herzl succeed because it was a precursor to the second coming, right? He's reading the Bible as a dispensationalist, and then he becomes a Christian Zionist. Now that brings us to this connection, this intersection between Christian Zionism and political Zionism. Now they both share a goal. The goal is the establishment and the defense of a Jewish state in the land of Israel. But the reason for this goal is very different depending on whether you're coming at it as a Christian Zionist or just as a political Zionist. Political Zionism was born in the late 19th century primarily as a secular movement. Theodore Herzl and his colleagues weren't necessarily looking for a religious revival. They weren't reading their Bibles to come to this conclusion. They were actually looking for a survival strategy. After centuries of persecution in Europe, they concluded that the Jewish people would never be safe until they had their own sovereign state with their own army. So it was about self-determination and safety and national identity for a political Zionist. Christian Zionism, on the other hand, provides a theological backing for that political reality. So for the Christian Zionist, the secular state is the scaffolding for God's spiritual building. And so then this creates a marriage of convenience, right? Political Zionists, even the secular ones, even the atheists, would welcome the support of Christian Zionists because of the massive political and financial power that they wield, especially in the United States. So pay attention next time you're listening to a politician and see if he's appealing to the Christian concept of Zionism, even though he might not actually be a Bible-believing Christian. He's basically co-opting Christian Zionists or dispensationalists or people who love the Left Behind series. He's co-opting them for his political agenda. Now, the conversation gets really raw when you talk about the goal for a lot of the Christian Zionists, because their goal isn't just about flags to fly. There's a parallel idea that sits at the core of their eschatology. The spiritual restoration of Israel must follow the physical restoration of Israel. Okay, so this is what a segment of Christian Zionists, I think really this makes the most sense. If you're going to be a Christian Zionist biblically, you really have to believe this part, that the return of Israel to the promised land is only the first half of the prophecy from the Bible. Because if you're really reading your Bible, you'll notice that once the Jewish people return, go read Revelation and some of this end time stuff, they ought to be encouraged to reject Judaism and adopt Christianity, right? Because the secular state of Israel is like the dry bones in Ezekiel 37. The bones have come together, the skin is on them, but there's no breath in them. That breath for a Christian Zionist is faith in Jesus Christ. This, by the way, is why a lot of Jewish people are wary of Christian support, because they're going to ask, like a Jewish person who doesn't believe that Jesus is the Messiah, right? They're going to say, do you support our right to exist, or are you just waiting for us to stop being Jews and become Messianic Jews, you know, believers in Jesus? So it's actually a dynamic of deep friendship and political bond mixed at the same time with deep theological suspicion. Now, in our last episode, we discussed how dispensationalism is really the framework that, well, now we're learning naturally leads to Zionism. But the question you might have is, well, wait a second, is every dispensationalist a Zionist? The answer is no, because there's another type of dispensationalist called a classic dispensationalist who believes that God has a future plan for Israel, but they're not activists in terms of getting Israel back to the promised land. They don't lobby, they don't necessarily push for Jewish conversion as a prerequisite for the end times. They just believe that God's going to handle the timing in his own way. They still read the Bible dispensationally, but they might not be active on the political scene like many of the Zionists are. One more thing. A common misconception is that Christian Zionists only support Israel because they want the world to end. And while end times prophecy is certainly a factor for many, there are other Zionists and dispensationalists who support Israel based on more what we would call covenantal grounds. They just believe that God is a promise keeper and he hasn't abandoned his original people. Now, in the next episode, we're going to talk about the other end of the theological spectrum, and it's called covenant theology. These are the believers who don't see Israel as being on a separate track from the church. They believe essentially that the church is the fulfillment of all of the promises that God made to his people in the Old Testament, to Israel. So while a Christian Zionist looks at modern Israel and sees a miracle of prophecy, a covenant theologian might look at it and just see a secular nation state that still needs the gospel just like any other nation. We'll talk about covenant theology in the next episode. And in the meantime, if you want to talk about all of these things with your family or your small group or your mentor, check out the series Israel and the Church at pursuegod.org.
Thanks for listening. If you would like to give to help support our ministry, please visit pursuegod.org/donate. Find more resources to talk about these topics with your small group, family, or mentor on pursuegod.org.